Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality. Well, it's a podcast about just about everything. We look at life through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy, but polished up in a new manner, and we call that polish Armadoxy. So we invite you to kick back right now and just relax as we go through the next few minutes together and look at life through these lenses. This podcast is being brought to you as part of the expanding vision of the Initiatives mission, yes, by the good folks over at Apostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. Oh, that was fun doing that. Oh, yeah, I kind of got through that one. Okay. I hope you are doing well today. I just want to thank all of you for joining us, and we're looking forward to the next few minutes. I've got a great surprise. Are you ready for this? Guess who is in my studio? Yes. Well, some of you might have figured it out last week. Of course, our good friend Glo Mkhitaryan, he's in here.
Արդյոք միակ օրն եմ ես համար այսպես քնքուշ եւ երկար այն տոնական է ու պայծառ.
Of course, Glo Mkhitaryan, he is in studio with us right now, and he's going to be doing an interview with us in just a couple minutes, and you won't want to miss that one. There's always something magical about this guy and his music, and I'm so glad that he's with us today. And he's going to be with us for the next few weeks doing some projects, especially the biggest project coming up March 6th, and I want to start off with that because it is alarming. The world situation is alarming. It is. It should give us all cause for not only reflection, but cause for action. I mean, what is going on in the Middle East directly affects everybody. And I'm not talking about the gas prices going up. Sure. I mean, every news story that comes out of the Middle East is followed by a commentary about the gas prices going up. And definitely that hits our pocketbook and we're all upset about that. But the bigger story is that people are losing lives, that there is revolution, there is turmoil coming up. But the small story is the one that I want you to focus in on because it's very important to me, because this small story is the same small story that has gone unnoticed. That while the world is focused on these big things, genocide, the greatest of all evils, goes unnoticed and unchecked. And this is happening right now in Darfur. And I said it a few weeks ago, and these podcasts have always had these commentaries about this, and I need to say it over and over again. I mean, this is actually a replay of everything that has happened in the past. And we need to wake up. We need to be able to change our future by looking at that past and then going ahead and saying, okay, these are the steps we're taking to change our future and our reality right now. I mean, in 1915, as the Armenian genocide was unfolding and the Turkish government had decided to annihilate every Armenian, the orders had come down, the world was focusing in on different stories that were going on. And the turmoil that had escalated by 1918 into World War I. And obviously, a world war is huge. But meanwhile, this evil of genocide goes unnoticed, unchecked, and it happens. It takes place. And the same thing happened in Nazi Germany. I mean, as the Holocaust is going on, people are looking at World War II. And meanwhile, there's this huge execution of people. Same thing in Cambodia. While Vietnam is going on, nobody's paying attention what's going on in Cambodia. Same thing in Rwanda. I mean, people close their eyes. Bosnia. And right now, this is happening in Darfur. And basically, Darfur is the area that, who cares what happens to these people? Because we've got bigger things to worry about. And yet, the evil of genocide. Now think about this for a moment. We're not talking about suicide. We're not talking about homicide. We're talking about eliminating the genes, genocide, getting rid of an entire group of people. What are we talking about? We're talking the greatest inhumanity that can be recorded, the greatest inhumanity that can be conceived of. I remember in 2006, I was in Rwanda, and there was a small little camp. I've written about this in some of my blogs. There was a small camp of widows, and I went and visited them. And these widows were all seniors. They all had gray hair, And I mention that because throughout Rwanda, you don't see too many people with gray hair, obviously, because it's a country that has just recovered from genocide. So the only people that are living there are people that are, well, in their 20s and 30s that are the working population out there, because their country was destroyed 10 years earlier. So I get to this camp, and it's the first time I'm seeing people with gray hair, and I'm asking, why are these people here? And it turns out that all of these people, most of them, have been infected with HIV/AIDS. And so these were the people that were allowed to live by the perpetrators of genocide. They were allowed to live because they can only do one thing, infect a greater population. And so basically, they had the blueprint for annihilating the population via bullets, via weapons, machetes, and via disease, AIDS. And you think about inhumanity. I mean, here it is. It's right in your face. I mean, that people think about these things, how to annihilate entire tribes, entire communities, entire nations, entire gene pools of people. And they come up with these bizarre, and I want to say diabolical, coming from the word diablo, diabolical, right? Coming from Satan himself, coming from the worst of all evil, the devil. Not some guy with a pitchfork, not some guy with a tail, not some guy dressed in red, but coming from the evil that is inside people's heart. And I want to tell you that there is a power that is greater than that evil. And you know it, I know it too. And that's the power of love. We've seen it in our lives. We know what love can do. And so we are there as a witness there to say that as Armenians, we have been through genocide and we have arrived here today. We need to take the next step in commemoration, not by standing up on April 24th and saying, look what happened 95 years ago, but standing up today and saying, look what's going on in Darfur. Been there, done that, and the only way that we can stop a genocide today is for us to get away from that monkeyness. You know, the monkeys with the hands on their eyes, on their ears, and on their mouth. In other words, let's take our hands off of our eyes and admit that it's genocide happening. Let's take our hands off of our ears and hear the cries of the people, of the children, and the women. Let's take our hands off of our mouth and start talking about it and saying that these people need to be stopped and punished. The governments, the communities that are destroying other people. And I know we can do it. I know there is no doubt in my mind, because I know the power of love. I know the power of good. And if you can put love in your heart, you can extend yourself to others, you realize that really, you know, this is one of the greatest things that we have as Christians. I was just listening to a lady talk about she had converted from Hinduism to Christianity, and she makes this interesting statement. Actually, she happens to be within one of the Orthodox parishes. She makes an interesting statement that the problem of evil in the world in Hinduism is basically postponed. Deal with it in karma, in a past life, in a life to come. But in Christianity, we embrace that evil, we embrace that suffering, and then overcome it through the cross and then resurrection. Interesting, last night in our Questions in Faith, if you didn't have a chance to watch it live, it is archived, it's up on our website, epostle.net. It happened to be the topic of our discussion last night. What does it mean to pick up the cross of Christ? Jesus not only demands it, he says that there isn't anything apart from it. He says that if somebody is going to follow me, he must pick up his cross daily and follow me. And then he goes on to say that unless someone picks up this cross, he cannot be a follower of mine. Interesting, huh? Unless, there's a condition on there too. Well, that picking up the cross means sacrifice, it means self-denial, and at some point it also means that you get to share in the resurrection, namely the victory, the triumph. And that's what we need to share in. We need to bring that triumph to the world, because we can find peace in the world. We can eliminate genocide. We can eliminate wars. But it's not by picking up guns. It's not by killing people. But it's by being steadfast to the faith that was given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we talk about all these things. I'm not going to do it today. It's in our podcast. I don't want to be repeating what I'm doing right now. And it's definitely in the sermon series. You know what? Go to epostle.net. That is such a cool name. Apostolic Evangelism, but with an E, because it's for an electronic and expanding universe. And check out a lot of the stuff that's being written over there, that's being posted over there, because that's what it's about. It's about finding alternatives for war, finding ways of resolving situations through the power of love. It's the godly way of doing things. God tells you. He tells you that love is more powerful than hate. He tells you that good is more powerful than evil. So why am I not going to believe it? Well, because it's not being presented to me. If you've been following these, you know, this has been my biggest criticism of the Christian church. Well, let me be specific, of the Armenian church. I mean, we have the opportunity to showcase resurrection. Instead, we center on crucifixion. Yeah, crucifixion happened. Good Friday did happen. But it was just a crucifixion, unless it becomes good by putting it in the perspective of Easter Sunday, right? It becomes a Good Friday because of the goodness of Easter Sunday. And the Christian needs to focus on those positive things, needs to focus on what is good in life. And just last week, you know, they did a big FBI sting here in the Los Angeles area. They got almost 70 people in jail, 99 arrests of Armenian people. This is how they presented it in the newspapers, in the LA Times. Armenian people, Armenian gangs, Armenian mafia were arrested, were stung in an operation that included some healthcare fraud, credit card fraud, etc., etc., etc. And one of the newspapers called me up that same day, or I guess it was the day after, and asked me to comment. How do I feel about the Armenian young people doing these kind of things? And you know, obviously, yes, you feel terrible. I feel even more terrible that it's being labeled as Armenian people doing this. But I asked the reporter one simple question. Okay, you want to focus on this. How come nobody's also telling you some of the other news that's out there? Namely, that Kirk Krikorian, the son of genocide survivors, who started with nothing, that same day that this FBI thing was going on, that same day, had donated $100 million to UCLA, and specifically to help with some of the medical facilities and so on. I mean, you could read about it. But how come nobody's focusing in on his being Armenian? But everyone's focusing in on the Armenian-ness of these thugs, of these crooks. Now, it's interesting because you know the answer. Kirk Krikorian's is not news. But the sensational events, those are what makes news. You talk about every day people coming home. You know, they don't report that 10 million people got home safely in one particular city. They report about the one accident that took place, right? That's the news. That's where the helicopters go. That's where the news is. The one accident that takes place on the freeway. But they don't tell you that millions of people got home safely. That's not news. I mean, this is just the fact of news gathering, right? The negative makes the news. Well, the Christian needs to change that because, and unfortunately in our churches, especially in the Armenian church, we focused in on that negative news. Oh, we have been victimized. We have been killed. This is our Golgotha. This is our crucifixion, April 24th. Well, I got news for you. As Christians, you got to move beyond crucifixion. And this year we get this opportunity because April 24th, like it or not, is falling on Easter Sunday. and it happens to be the greatest triumph in the universe. A triumph over death, over evil, over ultimate crucifixion. Now, do you want to celebrate it? Let's celebrate it. Let's do it. So we kick off this weekend, actually. We're kicking off with a kickoff for a fast for Darfur. And then, more importantly, I need you there, March 6th, when we kick off this incredible Lenten season that will culminate with Easter Sunday on April 24th. But anyway, March 6th, listen to this. We've got a lineup. We've got Gor Mkhitaryan. We've got Melina Kurdian. We've got artist Gregory Baylarian joining us, and he's going to be doing a special video presentation, which includes everyone who comes saying a few words to the kids in Darfur, to the kids in the refugee camps. We've got Gabriel Slaring coming in from Stop Genocide Now. He's going to be talking about, he's going to be showing, we're going to have slides. We actually have one exhibit that's actually a Camp Darfur tent. You get to walk into the tent, see what life is like in those refugee tents. It's an incredible opportunity that will heighten your awareness about it. I'm encouraging you to come with friends, come with family, and I know it's a little bit far. If you can't join us, please check us out on inhisshoes.org. We'll have all kinds of links where you can actually get some hands-on to it too. But if you can make it out to the Los Angeles area, this is in Griffith Park, the largest park in California, the largest park in Los Angeles, definitely. I think it's one of the largest. Maybe Central Park might exceed it, but this is a big one, okay? Griffith Park, and we are there. In His Shoes Ministries, an awareness for Darfur, March 6th, from 1 to 5 p.m. Okay, are you ready now? I know you've been waiting for this. In the studio with me is Gor Mkhitaryan, famous songwriter, singer, performance artist, just an incredible human being. I'm so glad that he made some time to be with us today. Let's switch over the microphones. Ken's getting us ready, and we will continue with an interview with Gor Mkhitaryan.
سارت زور منم که
I'm so happy that today we have with us renowned artist, musical recording artist, Gor Mkhitaryan, who has so many accomplishments, including 7 CDs, and I also like to consider him as a friend. And I'm so glad you made the time today, Gor, to be with us and be with our listeners who, you know, we get a chance to listen to a lot of your music, and today they get to meet you, the personality.
Thank you, Father Vosgen. Thanks for having me here. I always enjoy the conversations with you.
Well, how about if we begin our interview with, well, the usual stuff. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, how you got started in music, your influences, and so on.
Sure. I was born in Vanadzor, the third town in Armenia. Nice, rainy town. I was born in 1973, to be more specific, which makes me 38. I picked up guitar when I was 15. Or 16, I don't even remember. My aunt Seda gave it to me. But professionally speaking, I would say I started when I was 22, pretty late. My first band was formed when I was 21, 22. So yeah, I consider it as my beginning.
What were some of your influences? I know that your music kind of spans a lot of different spectrums. You've got folksy, you've got electric. Who were some of your influences?
Yes. Oh, it's a really hard question to answer, because so many good music was surrounding me. My brothers, my parents, they were listening to Armenian folk music. My brothers were listening to Western rock music. So all kinds of music, and I got influenced little by little, starting from the Armenian folk. It pretty much covers all the ranges, from Armenian folk to Western rock music. To be specific, I would say some of my all-time favorites would be Led Zeppelin, Paul Simon, like old Okomitas recordings, old Komitas songs, a little bit of Sayat Nova maybe in the early stages.
I think that's what really kind of attracts a lot of the people, at least for myself, to your type of music, because you have successfully been able to bring old world. You've been, like, you're one of the few musicians that could put Gomidas and Led Zeppelin in one sentence and in one song. You can kind of capture the feelings. This is, I think, more than just consciously wanting to do it. You're inspired by something, and I think that's what I always hear in your music.
ג'רי גלחים ארצי ונסתץ הוא ירקץ זורי מיצ'ין אך צ'יק תסף נרתס כו זמייל וצף.
Can you talk about some of that inspiration? Where does that come from?
That comes from my life experience mainly. Life with its difficulties and good moments. All of my experience, pretty much, all the tough times, all that dark and cold years, the from the Soviet system shifting to the capitalistic system.
You actually lived through those times.
Yes,
going.
Yes, well, I was 15 when we got the independence. Mm-hmm. I was 18 when we got the first, the third Armenian republic with constitution, and the everything kind of affected me, my music, me in general, and that kind of made me who I am, and that's how I created my music, starting in 1991.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about the subjects that make you create music, and the lyrics. I mean, you're both a musician and a lyricist.
Yes, a wide variety of things, obviously, like love, relationships, faith, global issues like immigration, racism, philosophics, economics, and I have different song on these topics, like Cold Wagon, which I wrote about my experience in 1993 when I was going from Yerevan to Vanazor in the really cold winter in the cold wagon without windows. Immigration, like in my song Me and My Country. Racism, like in the song Moscow, or old age. It's a totally different issue. It's philosophical.
Garshaut gnatsk narants patuhan arache so zamerva kesin uyesa mi ein amboch pagono luru zertar anverch vazvzum mi apse garon mi herde mi baja.
That's quite a broad range of topics and suggestions, but equally as broad is, I think, your audience. I've been amazed on. I've been to a couple of your concerts, and it's not just the usual fare. You have a very broad cross section of followers. You have Armenians that have been established, Armenians that are newly immigrated here, and then you have people that don't even have any ethnic Armenian tie who are your followers. So what do you think is the reason why your music is so accessible and pleasant to a wide variety of people?
Because everybody can find something in my music that speaks to them you know, because of variety of subjects, as I mentioned before. You know, it comes from the tough economical times, from the switch, Soviet and capitalism. Also, the music includes elements from different genres, and people can find something they relate to. That's mainly is the reason.
Like Shogerjan.
Like Shogerjan, like from my album Acoustic Folklore. It's a purely folkloric album, 8 songs, recorded in old mood. I like to call it mood. But you know, I'm using like modern instruments, guitars, percussions, instruments that people already know, at least here in the West. But I'm using the melodies that people also, especially Armenians, already know from Komitas and other songwriters like Yekmalyan, Kuchak. I don't know.
I want to ask you about Kuchak, because it's fascinating how, like I said, you know, you're one of the few musicians that can put everything together. But let me continue with what I have over here. I've made a few notes, and specifically about the Spirit album, I wanted to ask you, because that's your latest album. It has many spiritual overtones, musically, literally. It's a fascinating album. Anybody who gets it in their hands is just amazed at the variety of songs, like I said, musically and literally. Der Աստված պահպանիր եւ իմաստության հոգի տուր մեզ Der Աստված. Tell us about this album. What is it about the Spirit album? How did you come about it? What did you set out to accomplish? And maybe was it a shift in your music?
It was a shift in the sense that I normally do not write entire albums on the subject of spiritualism. So the lyrics do differ from this album to this album from my previous ones. On the larger sense, Spirit is not very different from my previous albums because the musical style is similar. So that is sure. pretty much the answer.
When we look at it in Armenian spiritual music, it's like you have this big void between the 12th century, say, and your music right now. So I think that was really something that we welcomed very much, and it's just a fantastic album. I want to congratulate you on putting that together. Our listeners of The Next Step are interested in how that ancient faith of the Armenian people can be applied today, and I think in one of the songs written by Nahabet Kuchak, You do that. You brought that today by your modern melodies.
Yes, Achku du, du Luis Hoki, Arans Luis, Achke Havari. Yes, Zuku du, du Jur Hoki, Arans Jur, Zuke Chi Abri.
Can you tell us about this song and about this poet, and how and why does it fit into your music?
Nahabet Kuchak wrote these popular hayrens. You know, hayrens is the old form of poetry. Mm-hmm. In the 16th century, to express a man's love for a woman. I took it and incorporated it in a way to express the love between God and human. The song Yes Achk in a way symbolizes the whole album, because it's the opening track of the album. In the album, by adding my own words to this, I tried to show on a small scale what I have tried to show through the whole album, and that is again the merging on the spiritual with the worldly. It's a bridge between old and new. This is the whole purpose of this album. I wanted to show that we want to go forward, we progress, and we just don't stick in one place. And that's what I tried to do with this album, especially with this opening track, Yesachka.
I love that expression, the bridge. I think maybe that's...
Yeah, because it is a bridge. Mm-hmm. It is a bridge. I mean, it's a different question if people like it or not, if they will accept it or not. But it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We live in the 21st century. It's 2011. We don't live in 16th century, but we don't forget about 16th century. We don't forget Komitas. We don't forget Grigor Narekatsi.
Mm-hmm. And I think that really just kind of like expresses everything about your music. It is the bridge music. Maybe that's what attracts me and so many others to it. I know that in 2 weeks we're mm-hmm. having a awareness afternoon for Darfur.
Yes, you've agreed March 6th at the Griffith Park.
Yes, and you've agreed to play there. I know these
absolutely
these kind of activities are very close to your heart, humanitarian ways of getting people to reach out beyond themselves. I want to first thank you for agreeing to play there. But how
you're welcome. I'll be happy to be there and play. Me and my friend, actually, this is a kind of like a surprise. You didn't even know about this, but yeah. I just got the confirmation from my accordion player, Arada Banjan, who's going to join me, and we're going to play the set together. So I definitely recommend our listeners to be there.
And you listeners should know that I've got a major smile on my face right now. This is Gourmet Monday. We got two incredible talents coming
together. He's a great musician, and he's on this album. Probably, let me see, at least in 5 songs.
Mm-hmm.
He's there, so.
Well, thank you for putting that together. Now, I happen to know
mm-hmm.
Another little thing, that you sometimes travel with your guitar. Is it possible that your guitar is close by to this studio?
It's in my trunk. I'm going to go and bring it.
You have a guitar in
absolutely.
Your trunk. If it wouldn't be too much of a problem, I would love to go to a little break. Maybe we could do some of the other segments of this show while you get it. And would you... do a song for us.
I'll be right back.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, there you have it. A promise from Gor Mkhitaryan to play for us live. And you're hearing that right here on The Next Step. Thank you, Gor. Thank you for being with us. I'll wait for you in a couple minutes. How about that? Okay. And out goes Gor and in comes Ani. So let's take advantage of the little break right now. We'll go over to Ani's Bubbles for today. Come back in a few minutes.
The Silent Sermon, today's spiritual bubble. A member of a certain church, who previously had been attending services regularly, stopped going. After a few weeks, the preacher decided to visit him. It was a chilly evening. The pastor found the man at home alone, sitting before a blazing fire. Guessing the reason for his preacher's visit, the man welcomed him, led him to a comfortable chair near the fireplace, and waited. The preacher made himself at home, but said nothing. In a grave silence, he contemplated the dance of the flames around the burning logs. After some minutes, the preacher took the fire tongs, carefully picked up a brightly burning ember, and placed it to one side of the hearth, all alone. Then he sat back in his chair, still silent. The host watched all this in quiet contemplation. As the one lone ember's flame flickered and diminished, there was a momentary glow, and then its fire was no more. Soon it was cold and dead. Not a word has been spoken since this initial greeting. The preacher glanced at his watch and realized it was time to leave. He slowly stood up, picked up the cold, dead ember, and placed it back in the middle of the fire. Immediately it began to glow, once more with the light and warmth of the burning coals around it. As the preacher reached the door to leave, his host said with a tear running down his cheek, "Thank you so much for your visit, and especially for the fiery sermon. I will be back to church next Sunday." We live in a world today which tries to say too much with too little. Consequently, few listen. Sometimes the best sermons are the ones left unspoken. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Thank you, Ani. What a wonderful message. What a nice reminder that there are many ways of communicating. And sometimes it's those silent communications, those ember communications that are so important. I love this story. Very nice little reminder. And, you know, we are right now, we have been communicating through another means, the means of music, of art, and we have in studio as our guest, Gor Mkhitaryan, not a stranger to us, but a friend of this ministry and a friend of In His Shoes. He is en route right now to his car and probably on his way back with his guitar. He has promised to sing a couple songs for us. So while we wait for him, let's take another opportunity to remind everybody about the March 6th event coming up in Griffith Park. It is our Awareness for Darfur. And I want to let Susie make a reminder about the bigger ministry, the ministry that puts all this together, In His Shoes and Apostle, and how you can become a participant in this growing ministry.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the third year of production and growing daily with new listeners around the globe. This new message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. Epostle.net is the voice of Armadoxy, committed to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we need to avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at the inhisshoes.org website. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Very special reminder at a special time in the growing cycle of this ministry. I mean, we are reaching out so many places, and Apostle has really gone beyond our dreams. It's that little bit of faith that our Lord asks us to have. Have that faith and you can move mountains. And I can't tell you the encouragement that we get from throughout the world, people tuning in to these webcasts, to these broadcasts, the podcasts, and I always thank God for this beautiful opportunity. And I need to thank all of you who are participants in this. Please be generous in your giving and be regular, because it allows us to plan, it allows us to really make this ministry a dynamic one. And it's through your generosity, through your prayers. I mean, if you've been joining us on Wednesday evenings when we have our Questions in Faith series, I mean, now we've got Shiraz on board and he is like singing and teaching us songs. And what's exciting about it is that people throughout the world are joining and singing. You know, whether you're watching it live or watching it through the archives, we have the music over there, learning the music, learning Armenian Orthodoxy and the music there. You know, that's very special. Mkhitaryan, he's here right in this studio. In a few weeks, we're going to have more guests. We're going to have other opportunities. A lot of stuff going on, but it's all thanks to God's help, God's strength that he gives each and every one of us. And in that strength, we have an opportunity and a responsibility to give back. So here it is, In His Shoes Ministries. It looks for you. It waits for you to be a participant, to say you will walk in the shoes of others and be a regular in giving and contributing to this ministry. Okay, you've been waiting for it. Here he is. He's back. He's getting his guitar ready. And Gor, I'm going to turn it over to you. Whatever you'd like to play. I just really appreciate you being here. And, well, it's your concert. It's a mini concert for me over here. And I know on behalf of our listeners, they're just excited to hear you. So live from the Epostle Studios, here is Gor Mkhitaryan.
So I'm going to play the song called Or. I know it's one of your favorites. And
thank you.
There we go. Thank you.
սոսոս հասկացա ու երբ արմատներիս վերադարձա ինձ գտաշեմի հին գանձարանի դրան վրա պատրաստ կախված էր բանալին երկար ճանապարներից հոգնած ես պառկած եմ խոնավողին հայացքս երկնքին առած այնտեղ ես ապրել եմ ժամանակին այնտեղ մենք ապրել ենք ժամանակին Ոսկի արծատ եւ խանգարված քուն Վերջում փոշի ու տափակ քարի բեկո Սա է այն ամենը Ինչ կգտնեն իմ տեղը Ինձնից հետո եկող ճամփորդներ Երկար ճանապարներից հոգնած Ես պառկած եմ խոնավողին Հայացքս երկնքին առած Այնտեղ ես ապրել եմ ժամանակին, Այնտեղ մենք ապրել ենք ժամանակին, Երկար ճանապարներից հոգնած ես պառկած եմ խոնավողին, Հայացքս երկնքին առած, Այնտեղ ես ապրել եմ ժամանակին, Այնտեղ մենք ապրել ենք ժամանակին, Այնտեղ ես ապրել եմ ժամանակին. Այնտեղ մենք ապրել ենք ժամանակին, Այնտեղ ես ապրել եմ ժամանակին, Այնտեղ մենք ապրել ենք ժամանակին,
Oh, thank you. That was beautiful.
Thank you. Another one I'm going to play is called Miracles. Harash Kinesh.
I like that.
Ջուրն արդեն փոխակերպվեց, ազնվացավ, գինի դարձավ. Խոսքն արդեն հիմնավորվեց, ապացուցվեց ու գործ դարձավ. Մինչև այդ պահն առ պատասխան, հարցեր երկար շարան-շարան, արագ գտան պատասխանները վերջնական, կիսախավան մեզ ինչքան դեռ պիտի ճնշես, Երկաթերքում սեղմ ես խեղդես, պահես, բայց հաշկն աստվածային, այսօր էլ այցելեց, ինձ ազատեց ու հաջորդին պատրաստեց. Չորացան ձերքը բուժվեց, կենտանացավ, բրունցք դարձավ, հինգ հազար հոգի կերակրվեց, հինգ հացով, երկու ձկով, մինչև այդ պահն պատասխան, հարցեր երկար շարան-շարան, արագ գտան պատասխաններ վերջնական. Երկաթե գրկում սեղմ ես խեղդես, պահես, բայց հաշկն աստվածային այսօր էլ այցելեց, ինձ ազատեց ու հաջորդին պատրաստվեց, կիսախավար մեզ ինչքան դեռ պիտի ճնշես, երկաթե գրկում սեղմ ես խեղդես, պահես, բայց հաշկն աստվածային այսօր
you go. I really appreciate that. How about one more? One more. Okay. He's agreed to it. Okay. A little bit tuning different, huh? Is that it?
So I have two Ds. So that's why it sounds really rich.
For being with us, this was great, a personal concert, and I know on behalf of our listeners, everyone's just excited. So you're going to be with us on March 6th.
Absolutely. It's not going to be a full band concert, obviously, and most of my recordings, including the Spirit album, is recorded with the band. Still, I think it's going to be a nice performance and a nice setting, and of course, if you're there, it's going to be excellent.
You're too good. Thank you very much for being with us today, and we look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you, sir.
There you have it, the unmistakable voice and talent of Gor Mkhitaryan. And definitely check out today's show notes. We'll have links to his website so you can hook up with him. You can hear all of his selections, all of his music. Just an incredible artist. And we are just very fortunate to have people like him. People like him that are really committed to not only to their music, but to the social change that that music can make. And, you know, Gor has been a partner with us in the In Issues Ministries for several years, and we're really happy to have him join us on March 6th. I shouldn't say us, right? I should say we're just really happy that we're going to be together that day, because all of you that partner with us, you know, it's not a question of you're coming to us, we come into you. We're in this boat together. We have to take care of this world, this planet, and especially we have to do away with this evil called genocide. I wish I didn't have to say it. But would you believe that just right now, this is Thursday, we are recording this while we were recording. I already got the latest updates out of Darfur, and it is dismal. It is not good. It is not good. And you can't close your eyes to it. You can't close your mind to it. We've got to be doing something about it. So please do join us. It's March 6th, and it's going to be a great effort to just heighten awareness about what's going on over there. Do check us out. Go to our website, inhisshoes.org. There's flyers, there's information, and there's links to some of the activists. We've got Gabriel Starring, who's going to be out there in Chad right at the refugee camps next month. He's going to be taking some video from us, and we're going to be fasting for Darfur, collecting money to do the work in the refugee camps. Incredible stuff. And this is all happening because we've decided, as children of genocide survivors, to put our feet in the shoes of others, and we invite you to be a participant in that. Go to inhisshoes.org, check out all the wonderful things that are taking place, the blogs and the information that's up there. Lately, we just were able to retrieve some sermons, some videos, and those are all going to be transcribed. They are going up on the website very shortly. We're really happy that we're partnering with the Western Diocese in a small little venture called In Step with Christ, and those are up on Vimeo. We've got all kinds of information, so do check out the website. And of course, the voice of In His Shoes is epostle.net. That's Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. Hey, it's been a pleasure to be with you today. I look forward to seeing you next week. And in the meantime, please remember that this Sunday we're going to be over at Glendale Community College. We will have a link. Do check us out at In His Shoes, and we will be able to communicate with what's going on. We are kicking off the fast for Darfur, so you won't want to miss that. That's this coming Sunday, 2 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Yes, we are on the West Coast over here. For the wonderful people who put today's podcast and every podcast today, for our engineer who really did an exceptional job today, that's Ken up in the booth, for Ani with her bubbles, and Susie, our producer, this is Father Boskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience, not valid with any other offer.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.